Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. Hey friends, Pastor Harold here. I'm glad you're with us. Today we are in the Gospel of Mark, and we are in chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 34. And we are reading about a lot of parables today. I'm in the New Living Translation. If you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to get it out and make these cool noises as we flip pages. Or you can open your electronic version, whatever that's on, our app, Transformation app. You can download that, and it has a Bible on it. Or you can go to YouVersion, the Bible app, and open up to chapter 4. And again, we're going to be in the New Living Translations for this entire series. We are in a series titled The Way, the Book of Mark. Today's message is titled, What is the Meaning of Life? And we are in chapter 4. We're going to unpack some parables. So let's get with it. Chapter 4, verse 1. And the title of this particular parable is The Parable of the Farmer Scattering Seeds. Here we go. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lakeshore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat for a while. All the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. And this first word is really important. He says, listen. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell onto the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have any roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much that had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around him, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, if you can understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have any deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away soon as they have problems or they're persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded about by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And then the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Powerful parable. The next parable is the parable of the lamp. Then Jesus asked him, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is a place on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought into the light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what a little bit of understanding, what they have will be taken away from them. Then the next parable is the parable of the growing seed. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the head of the wheat are formed, and finally the grape grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. The next parable is the parable of the mustard seed. And this will be our last parable. Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. Jesus used similar stories and illustrations to teach people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. May God bless your hearing, your understanding, and your application of Scripture. Friends, Pastor Harold here. Welcome to The Way, the Book of Mark. We are in a message series titled just that, The Way, the Book of Mark. And today we are in our fifth week. The first week was really just an introduction to the entire Gospel of Mark, the Book of Mark. And we talked about the introduction of John the Baptist, who would be ministering to his disciples, to the Jews of his day, the religious elite as just the everyday person, spreading the good news of forgiveness, that you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But there's somebody that's going to come after him that he's not even worthy of tying his sandals, that will baptize in the Holy Spirit, and that would be the person of Jesus. So we know in that introduction that he's confronted by the religious elite, the Pharisees of that day. They're asking why he's doing this. He tells them why. He tells them, and he foreshadows and gives them the foretelling and announcement of Jesus that is coming. And then Jesus does come, and John baptizes him, and then a dove comes down, the Holy Spirit is present, and Jesus starts his ministry, right? In the first full week into this, he moves from this message of forgiveness of sins and redemption, not that he totally moves away from it, reconciliation and redemption and repentance, but he moves big time into introducing us to the gospel of the kingdom. And he emphasizes community because we all crave relationships and friendships. And so we dove into that. What does it look like? What lengths do people go to have relationships? And we unpacked a lot of that. But what lengths do we have to go to have a relationship with God? That's the most important. And most people, not too much. But that's what we're encouraged to do. Week two, Jesus demonstrates what it means to worship God. And Jesus is God. We made that really clear. But he really gets in, he compares and contrasts the difference between religion and grace. You know, worshiping for the sake of worshiping, or worshiping for the sake of celebration. And Jesus said, celebrate. Celebrate me. Celebrate forgiveness of sin. Celebrate victory over death. Celebrate the second coming. Celebrate eternity, salvation. Celebrate. So worship should be a celebration. I hope you're celebrating big time today. Week three, we got into what is the difference between right and wrong. That was the title of the message. What is the difference? How can we know? And the Bible tells us so. It gives us clear cut directions. We don't need to know the will of God. It is written down, friends. The question is, will I put my will in line with it? That's the $1 million question. It is for everybody, right? And so Jesus gets into that, and he tells us the difference between the kingdom of God in the world system. And he's all about the kingdom. He preached and talked more about the kingdom of God than anything. And here we are today. We're on week four, and we're going to unpack some of the most essential parables in Scripture. Amen. And he's going to display some wise wisdom that will come out of this there's some deep wisdom, I should say, that it will come out of this teaching. But he teaches that he instructs us why he does what he does. Why does he preach the way he preaches? Why does he evangelize the way he evangelizes? Why does he give one message to the general public, but then he turns around and gives a deeper message to, you know, his disciples? Well, he tells us that in today's readings, and you just got done hearing that scripture being read. We're going to focus our attention on the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, and we're going to tackle today's question, and the title of today's message is, what is the meaning of life? And that's really an important question. What is the meaning of life? It's a question we've all had. We have lots of questions. Why am I here? Who created God? What's my purpose in life? How am I supposed to live? Is there really a moral law? What happens to me when I die? All these questions are out there. But one of the big philosophical, spiritual, theological questions that exist is, what is the meaning of life? And so Jesus is going to use the parables today to answer that question. And so if he just got into a deep philosophical, theological discussion, it would be right over people's heads. And it could still be today. There's a lot of theologians and preachers out there that really want to impress you with their seminary education and go on a deep dive into the Hebrew and the Greek and all these words. And, you know, that's fine to do in a self-study or a small group. But in a general, practical, conversational teaching of experience, strength, and hope, it really needs to be practical, it needs to be contemporary, it needs to be relevant, and I need to be able to understand it. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. And so he gives us that. And in the parable of the farmer scattering seeds is one of the best known parables in the entire, you know, compilation of Jesus' teaching. And we can relate to it because we still see seeds planted today. We plant seeds in our home for flowers. Some of us have gardens that we love to do, community gardens. Some of us know farmers, some of us grew up on a farm. So the idea of seeds and planting seeds and watching it come to life and the importance of good soil, watering it, taking care of, the old green thumb theory, all is part of this illustration. And so we can all relate to it. That's why he uses it. He told parables really for two reasons. Number one, to help us understand the heart of God. Who is God? What is his heart? What is he all about? And number two, to help us understand how things work in the kingdom of God. How do they work? How is things supposed to move and flow? And more importantly, am I willing to put my will in line with that? In this particular parable, he describes the meaning of life, cultivating that the heart has to be receptive to hearing and accepting, right, the redemptive message of Jesus' death and resurrection, then living a life that produces a vast harvest that can feed a multitude. That is the message. That's the meaning of life. Right? That if you needed to define it, what is the meaning of life? I just gave it to you. Jesus gave it to us, right? And so, am I willing to get in line with that? Are you willing to get in line with that? The next question is, that's really important and goes into the meaning of life. If the meaning of life is to allow myself to be fertile, and I get fertile by what we just talked about, by believing in Jesus, by hearing and accepting the truth about Jesus, his message of redemption, his death, resurrection, forgiveness, love and service, and then producing a vast harvest as a result of the transformation of my life, moving from a taker to a giver. That you can just illustrate that from growing. I'm a seed, I'm a taker. I'm planted into the soil, and I grow into a giver. And there needs to be a vast harvest that's validated by the fruit, not my articulation of words, but looking at my life, is there a fruit that I'm really living this out? All right, so that's number one. But then the next question is, well, how do you grow fertile soil, right? How do you create fertile soil to increase the amount of organic soil to fertile soil? You need organic matter, right? And you do it by adding certain things like compost. You can use aged animal manures. You can use green manures, which are just cover crops on top of things, mulches and peat moss. We see all this taking place at the end of summer when they're recycling all this stuff, getting it ready for the following year in spring, where you go out and get these things to help create a fertile environment where grass can grow, where your landscape can grow, where your garden can grow, right? Most soil life in the roots, it only goes down about 6 inches, right? So you need to concentrate on that upper layer when you're trying to create fertile soil. So it's that first 6 inches that matters in growing anything here on earth. So think about that in the contrast that with spiritual soil. And it's really the same thing. The definitions are essential. So the definition of organic is relating to or derived from living matters. Okay? Think about that in relationship to organic actual soil that you can feel with your hands, but then spiritual soil. Both require living matters. Spiritual organic soil must come from spiritual organic soil, seeds, and what is that living matter? So we're talking about living matter. What is the living matter in the spiritual soil? We just talked about what that matter is in organic soil, but what is it in spiritual soil? And it's the Father, it's the Son, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the triune God, right? That is the matter. That is the living of matter. And it's deep down inside us. And when we put all that stuff into a rich environment, we create this spiritual soil, if you will, the spiritual space. And it's seeded and it's embedded in the top 6 inches is rooted in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then amazing things can happen. As one of my favorite quotes from Mother Teresa is what? You got to remain green because green things are growing. Well, how do you remain green? You stay in fertile soil, friends. So that's really important. So the meaning of life, according to Jesus, is do whatever it takes to offer fertile soil continually, nonstop, to give ourselves to the understanding of Him and His kingdom, to continuously deepen our soul by pursuing the truth about ourselves and God, and set aside our worries and all of our material ambitions so we trust God above all things. So that's how we make, that's the meaning of life. That's how we maintain this fertile soil in our life. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what you're called to do. That's what I'm called to do. So hopefully we can do that. And so why is that important? Because let me say it this way. The most important thing I can do in my life is to create a spiritual environment. This will be equivalent to soil, where people have a chance to experience the kingdom of God. They have a chance to tap into the Holy Spirit. So that responsibility goes wherever I go. In my home, with my dog, Coda, with my bride, Susie. Am I trying to cultivate a spiritual environment where they can experience God? You know, because it's really important that I love both of them deep enough that they know God is real. Do I do that perfectly? No. But it's important that I love them both deep enough that they know God is real. Now take it to the streets. Take it to your workplace. Take it to your immediate family, to a broader context. It's still the same thing. It's to create a spiritual environment where people can experience the love of God, the grace of God. They can experience it through you. God's working through you. They can see the light on in your eyes. They are attracted to it. Big time. You might be a threat to those living in the dark, but for the most part, people that are really trying to find their way, that are really trying to answer this question, what is the meaning of life, are going to gravitate to you like a moth to a flame. So it's just important that we try to create that space wherever we go. And if we're going into a spiritual context, whether it's church, a small group study, we're invited to speak somewhere, it's a recovery meeting, we're going in places we don't want to end up, a treatment center, a jail, a prison, we're going into a homeless shelter, we're going on a mission trip, we're going into people's homes or their country. Those are, you know, that call to duty is on steroids, that we're really supposed to create a spiritual environment. So I mean, I need to be watching everything I do, how I walk, how I talk, how I act, what I post, what I say, what I do. All that is part of the ingredients that goes in to create this fertile soil. And if I'm putting contaminated stuff, nothing's going to grow, you know, in that. So that's really important that I'm, all this stuff matters. The words I say, the things I write, the things I do, the things I text, the things I post on social media, all that is my harvest area. This is all the soil, you know, everywhere I go. I'm planting, whether I want to be planting or not. I'm planting. I'm putting stuff into the ground. And it can be rich and help make it fertile, or it can be contaminants. It doesn't bring anybody closer to God. My life looks like everybody else's. Nobody really, you know, there's no standing apart. You know, it's like if you look at this squash, it looks just like this squash. Well, we want to be the best harvest there is. So when you look at it and go, man, that is some really good sweet corn, right? You want your life to be that. You want to be that tomato, like, man, that is a good looking tomato. That's a good looking cantaloupe. That's a good looking believer. That's a good looking disciple, right? That's what we want going on in our lives. And that's what we're called to do. But we're responsible to create that soil. So it's a huge responsibility on our part. It doesn't just end when I leave the church on Sunday. It's everywhere I go, visiting restaurants, etc., in the shopping mall, driving around, at a theme park, at the baseball game, wherever. A smile is a universal language. You'd be amazed the soil you create by just smiling at people, acknowledging people, loving people. It's a lot of fun. We were at the Cardinal game the other night, and we sat down at a table in this community area after where people could come and sit, and the place was packed. There was nowhere to sit, and a couple people from the South, they were definitely Hispanic, that they had on Rangers outfits. You know, we have on Cardinals, we have Rangers. They come up and say, "Hey, can we sit here with you?" I said, "Absolutely, sit down." And we laughed, and we gave each other trouble. They're Rangers fans, we're Cardinals fans. But we asked questions. We had conversations with them. They just moved here from Texas, and they live out in Wentzville. They've been there a couple of years. And we had a great conversation. They really thanked us for inviting them to sit down with us and have some laughs, celebrate our teams, celebrate baseball. But more importantly, we were able to smile and create an environment where the grace of God and love could be poured out there. That's just one example. Complete strangers were able to do that. And we learn that by following Jesus. We do that by following Jesus. So what we say, what we do, what we wear, how we go, what we listen to, what we watch, and especially when you take it to the streets, all matters. This is how we create that soil. You know, so our job is to create fertile soil wherever we go. And that is the message of all these parables that we read today. That is the single heart of the message. It's the kingdom of God. And we are help advance the kingdom where people can experience the grace of God. They can experience the truth about God. They can experience the personal relationship with God. And they can ask questions. They can bring their doubts. We just try to create a space where they can do that. And we got to remember that we only need to go down 6 inches. We don't need to make it complicated. We don't need to wow them with, you know, our memorization skills and all the different scriptures we know by heart. And, you know, all this stuff, because they don't care. It's the old saying, people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And they can tell how much you care just by your body language and how you treat them. So it's really important. That's the soil. And if we're not producing anything, if we're looking at our harvest baskets and they're empty, we got to ask ourselves, well, what's up with the soil? You know, am I really trying to create a spiritual soil, or I'm just throwing whatever I want into the soil? And that's the inventory question from today. That's the takeaway. How is my soil? Is it organic? Does it have living matter in it? Is it really rich? If we plant a seed, is it just going to sprout and take off? Or is it we're just going to cross our fingers and hope it even sprouts? So that's what we've got to take a look at for our own lives. Are people coming closer or moving further away from God by being around me personally? That's a really important responsibility. We all have it. So I hope you take it seriously, because if you do, then you're going to discover what is the meaning of life. That is your purpose in life. As a Jesus-centered person, as following a Jesus-looking God, that is your purpose. Everything else is secondary. Above all, create spiritual soil and be a harvester. And that's God's doing that through you. That's not you doing it, but it's you preparing yourself to allow God to do it through you, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you prepare yourself, well, God will do amazing things with that. And it'll lead to the best life possible. I mean, the God's greatest promises are going to come from this experience that we're talking about today. Not from making a bunch of money on Bitcoin or the Cardinals winning the World Series or any of that stuff. That stuff's all fun, but it's not the main thing. And the message today is to make the main thing, the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing here, fertile soil, fertile heart, fertile soul, fertile fruit, best life ever. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your message today. Thank you for your parables and the way you taught. You still teach us today to keep it simple, to keep it above ground, and to understand culturally and contemporarily, contextually, where we're at, who we're talking to, and that we speak their language. So they can relate, so they can come all the way in, sit all the way down, and stay on this journey with you, with us, as followers of your word, to grow spiritually, to become spiritually mature, so their soil becomes fertile, so you can use their soil for a great harvest for many to come. That's what we pray for each and every one of us listening today. We pray that for our communities. We pray for that for our homes. We pray for that for our workplace, our neighborhoods, our states, everywhere. We just want that to be the case. So help us to be serious about planting fertile soil wherever we go, and take it seriously, prepare ourselves for it, and be prepared to what you're going to do through us, to get excited about that, to let that be the driving force that motivates us to go out and live a Jesus-centered life. So we pray that today, Lord. We pray it boldly in your Son's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025. And we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life, and discovering the kingdom of God.